This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. In his message titled Discipline, Pastor Scott teaches us how to apply discipline in the priorities we set, the sacrifices we are willing to make, and the attitude we choose to assume. This message was delivered on Sunday, August 20th, 2017. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Good morning, New Hope!
Good morning.
Hey, maybe the coffee was too weak. I think he said he slipped, so it was supposed to be stronger. Maybe he put too much water. But the coffee was good, right? Yeah. I had two. But I don't know. I'm not running around yet, so maybe you're going to kick in later on. Well, I love this church. I love the fellowship. I love the worship. Man, you guys are just so wonderful. Today, you know, last week I talked about the five things that helped change my life. Five disciplines that helped change my life. And today we're going to talk about discipline. Not the kind of discipline you may be thinking of, the kind you like, you get cracks kind of discipline. No, I don't do that. I don't give cracks out here. Okay? Not that kind of cracks, because that kind of discipline cracks is hurt. That's the kind for sometimes we do our children. How many of you discipline your children like that? Yeah. No worry, no more any CPS people inside here. But get some officers, so you better watch where you raise your hand. But, you know, there are two types of discipline when we talk about it. There's the kind of discipline that's correction. And whenever we discipline in correction, I like to say we should discipline out of love and not anger. Oh, how many of you got disciplined out of anger? Oh, that hurts. And how many of you got disciplined out of love? Oh, that's so much better. So much. I think we learn more when we get disciplined out of love. I wish somebody told my parents that. Yeah, that. I mean, the yardstick and the belt was. And back then you could, right? And I tell you the truth. Back then I deserved every bit of that belt, that hanger, and that yardstick. And you know. I can say, yeah, because I was a rotten kid. But the Bible, discipline has a positive and essential place in the lives of God's people. And so many times in the Bible that God told his people, okay, this is how you live. But they didn't live that way, so they lived this way, not according to God's will. So God had to discipline them. And, you know, through discipline, we learn to be obedient. And that's a process. And then there's the other kind of discipline. The kind of discipline, like, for training. And I got to say, throughout your lifetime, you all had some kind of discipline because you are here. If you're anywhere in school or anything, you are disciplined in some way, shape, or form. Discipline can be defined as training expected to produce a specific character or pattern or behavior. Discipline is not an easy thing to do, but it's part of the Christian life. In fact, I think almost nothing of any significance in our life can be ever completed without discipline. Your job, your education, buying a house, paying your bills, it takes discipline. And spiritual disciplines also it can be described as a behavior that increases our spiritual growth. So it does take some kind of discipline to grow. This is a process that we go through and a development that takes place the moment we say yes to Jesus Christ. Disciplines involve reading the Word of God, studying, memorization, meditation. And if I tell you what, if you neglect that discipline, I think everything else will be just a waste of time. Because we will not have the power to do what God calls us to do, to overcome the enemy, to overcome our sin nature, because it takes discipline, and it begins with the Word of God. You know, as in Ephesians, the Bible says we are to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, our only offense, and it's our only spiritual weapon against the enemy that we can use. And it begins with discipline. If discipline was easy, everyone would be practicing it. But it's not. It does not come easy. How many of you realize that discipline is sometimes like, oh, it's so hard to stay on track? I mean, when we try to be disciplined in certain things, there's so many things that work against us. Man, when I want to read and study and try and discipline myself, there's always the distraction of television. You know, I'd love to watch ESPN. And remember back in when had those, all of you who are older, remember those dial TVs, the one that had channel 2, channel 4, channel 9? But that was it. That was minimum distraction. Now, yeah, like hundreds and thousands of channels. And when I want to read or study, there's a distraction. And man, it takes discipline to not watch the sports because I love to watch sports. I love to watch sports because I'm not good at sports. So I live my life to watching them. And have a discipline. When you discipline yourself, I'm going to go on a diet. Next day at the office, somebody brings donuts, the cream-filled ones with the chocolate on top. Don't you just hate them? You know, every so often I bring pastries to the school to thank them for allowing us to be here. And every time I bring pastries, the ladies, they just give me this look. Who are you, evil? And the guy is going, yes, food. And it's like the ladies are probably saying, like, okay, tomorrow morning I am going on a diet. Here comes Scott, bringing donuts, you evil. I mean, you know, there's distractions in us being disciplined. You know, how many of you are disciplined to spend and live within your means? And there's those who like, I want that purse. There's a sale at Macy's today. Or Tokunaga's. The fisherman or the builders, like for me, oh, something on sale at Home Depot and HPM. And we want it. We want it. It's not a need. It's a want. But there's the discipline there. It's so easy to pull out that plastic and swipe. Yeah? Buy it now. And then when the bill comes, it's like, what did I spend this money on? Discipline. And then there's our iPhones. Ooh, how many of you are on your phone now? And you're telling me you're looking at your Bible, right? I know you're texting somebody of where you guys are going to lunch. And you guys, yeah, there's the discipline. You know, our smartphones, man, they can be such a distraction. We can use that crossing the street. There's a new law now. Or sometimes we're even driving. There's a discipline. You know, when you're driving, it takes discipline. Because if your phone is over there and it beep, 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 and you're driving, you're like, how many of you look at your phone? I didn't get a few on. Hey, you don't drive. Better watch her when she drives. You see, the rest of you, I know you look at your phone. But there's so much distractions for us being disciplined. I mean, how many of you, other than Shelby, is disciplined to exercise? One, good for you. Two, man, that's exercise. That's like a bad word. Exercise and diet, not in my vocabulary. But that's how it is. You know, it takes discipline to live a Christian life. And if, like I said, if discipline was easy, we'd all be doing it. But here's some things that we need to be disciplined in. Now, number one, we need to be disciplined in our priorities. We really need to do that. Now, if our priority is God, and we say God comes first, then I would imagine that if I said that God comes first in my life, then when you see me, it would show. You see me Sunday morning at the beach, and it's like, hey, I thought God was first in his life. How come he's not serving in his church? How come he's not preaching today? He ran away. Or if I say God is first in my life, and when I run into problems, the last thing I do is pray, then what would you think? Like, well, why don't he ask God first? I think that's the easiest thing to do, right? When we run into a problem, isn't the easiest and the best thing to do is pray? How many of you agree with that? Sometimes when I run into a problem, I try to fix it and make things, you know, like, especially when I'm taking stuff apart. I love to take stuff apart, especially cars. So if you have a problem with your car, do not bring it to me. Because after I take it apart and put it together, I'll return it to you with an extra can of nuts and bolts. And I love to take things apart. I really do. From fishing reels to weed eaters, lawnmowers, cars, anything I can find, I will try and take it apart and fix it because I am tight. Right? And then when I cannot fix it after the fact, then I pray. When, man, maybe if I prayed first, I wouldn't have to take it apart. Yeah. So, you know, our priorities. In order for us to have a discipline in our priorities, we gotta really know what is our priorities. Because if you live for God, okay, and playing football or watching football is my priority, then something is wrong. If I'd rather be home today, since it's football season, instead of being in church, then something is wrong with my priorities. And in my priorities, I need to really be disciplined and understand that in my priorities, in my discipline, in my priorities, I need to practice what I preach. Amen? I am the first one to be held accountable. I should be anyway. In John, he knew his priorities, the book of John, the gospel. In John 3:30, he said, he must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. John knew what to do. He had discipline in what he was doing. He was the guy to prepare everybody for the coming of Jesus. He wasn't to be the great and mighty one. But his job was to prepare. And that's why he said he was talking about Jesus must become greater and greater while he become less and less. And that was the purpose of John's ministry, was to point people to Jesus. That's the purpose of our ministry, is to point people to Jesus. Not to say, hey, look at me. That's not the purpose of our ministry. It's to point people into a fruitful relationship with Jesus Christ. And it was for Jesus, for Christ to become greater and greater in your life while we die to ourselves and we become less and less. John knew his assignment. I mean, our priorities, where does it stand? Where do you want your priorities to be? Because if you want your priorities to be thus here, but your priorities are now here, it's going to take discipline to get you from here to here. And we want to help you to get there because we don't want you to stay in the same place forever and get comfortable and be stuck in a rut. As John said, you know, Jesus needs to become greater and greater, and myself less and less. And I want Jesus to become greater and greater in your life. Amen? So, but it is It's like not an easy thing. It takes discipline. And then number two, it takes discipline in our sacrifice. I hate that word sacrifice, yeah? I mean, sacrifice doesn't sound very good. Matthew 6, 19 and 20. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. That's so true, yeah? How many of you get termites in your house? Oh, the rest of you. All my termites are going to come and visit you. You know, I mean, what does that teach us? I got so mad at, why did Noah let termites on the ark? I'm mad. But God tell me, because it's to teach you that things are here are temporary. You know, where shouldn't say moth, but it should say termites. And how many get rust on your car? Yeah. And I think it's a lesson to teach us that these things here are temporary. How many of you ever had something stolen from you? Isn't that suck when somebody steals something and you get revenge? But think, you know, that's why the Bible tells us do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where the termites not going to eat it, where the moth, the rust do not destroy, and nobody's going to steal it. Nobody's going to break into heaven and steal your treasures. It's yours. Now, storing up treasures in heaven is not limited to tithing or giving, but it can be accomplished by all the acts of obedience to God here on earth. You know, sometimes we think there's a sense in which giving money to God's work is investing in heaven, and that's true. But we should seek to please God in everything that we do. All the acts of kindness that we do for others, fulfilling God's purpose as we do it. Sacrifice is not an easy word to hear, but think of it in a different way. Like, man, if you went to college, man, that was sacrifice. That was sacrifice because you couldn't go get a full-time job unless you was like amazing and you could work full-time and go to college. I couldn't even go to college and just college because there was no discipline in my life. It was so easy to sleep in. No discipline, so much lack of discipline. But, you know, going to college, it took discipline, took sacrifice. Why? Because you couldn't go party with your friends every night. The guys like me, who never care, took no discipline. And it's not an easy thing to do. Sacrifice can be like putting money away now for your retirement. I mean, it takes discipline to sacrifice in that way. But the thing is, like, I've seen people retire and then pass on. And it's like, man, but the thing with storing up treasures in heaven, when you pass on, that's when you get it. It's a good thing. It's better than putting away for retirement. But that's what sacrifice can be like. Sacrifice unto the Lord says like this, store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Now that's one place that when I get to, I hope the sacrifices that I made, that I will have wonderful treasures in heaven that I can enjoy. Sacrifice takes discipline. It's not an easy thing. It's like trying to save money sometimes. You know, I want to spend it. How many of you like spending money? Yeah? Those of you who not like spend money, you must have plenty of money in your savings, huh? Yeah. I mean, I like to spend my money on food and tools. I mean, really, that's where I like to spend my money. But it takes discipline not to buy every new thing that comes out. And it takes discipline not to, because if I had all the money in the world, I think I'd go out to eat every night. Even if I like to cook, but I think I like to eat more. But it takes discipline to sacrifice. And number three, it takes discipline in our attitude. How many of you know that? It takes discipline to have a good attitude. It's so easy to have a bad, sucky attitude and be Mr. Grumpy all day long. And, you know, it takes discipline in my attitude when I'm driving. Yeah, how many of you, it's a real battle. It's a real battle in my attitude when I'm in the grocery store and somebody has 20 items in the express lane. And my attitude is like, somebody needs to go to school and learn how to count. It takes discipline. And especially when somebody else is in line and say, like, oh, they don't know how to count there. And you want to just jump in the conversation and say, yeah, they don't know how to count. How rude. And it takes discipline to say, well, you know what? That's okay. Because you know what? I'm in a country where I can buy groceries and I have money to buy groceries to feed my family. So it's okay. And sometimes when we have to put on that attitude, we got to like breathe. Yeah, I got to have a good attitude. It takes discipline. You know, when my children were young and they would come home with bad grades, oh, man, you just want to nail them to the wall. You want to discipline them. You want and when they come home with D's and F's and the attitude, this is how I had to adjust my attitude. When they came home with F's, my attitude had to be of this: wow, you have so much more potential. Because if they came home with A's and A pluses, that's it. They maxed out. Where are you going to go from an A? There's nothing above an A, right? So when they got an F, you're like, wow, you got so much potential. Man, I wish my parents thought of that when they was raising me. An F means cracks. That was it. But in our attitudes, sometimes, oh, I love to jump on that grumbling bandwagon. I'm human just like you. Philippians 2, 14 and 15. Do everything. Everything. Not some things. Everything. Without complaining or arguing. So that you may come blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. Wow. Do everything. Okay, that means washing the dishes, taking out the trash, doing the junk stuff in life, exercising, attitude. It takes discipline. You know what? How many of you that know that attitude is a choice? You get to choose your attitude. You get to choose whether you're going to have a crummy attitude or a good attitude. And whatever you choose, it takes discipline. You ever hang around those people that are always joyful and you wonder what is going on with them? Something is wrong. You look at their eyes. Are you high? Yeah? Check them out. Don't see you guys laughing. You guys know. The Bible says do everything without complaining, grumbling. Everything. Not just some things. It takes discipline. It takes discipline to know when to speak and when not to speak. It takes more discipline to know when not to speak. Oh, sometimes you just want to say something. You're dying inside to let it out. and you just want to unload, and it takes discipline. Man, it takes discipline in our attitude. It takes so much discipline to put on that attitude. And all these disciplines that we're talking about this morning must be led by the Holy Spirit. Oswald Chambers said this, "The Sermon on the Mount is not a set of principles to be obeyed apart from identification with Jesus Christ. The Sermon on the Mount is a statement of the life we will live when the Holy Spirit is having our way with us." In Matthew 5, 3 through 11, this is what Jesus said. "Blessed are the poor in spirit." And when they say that, it's not the spiritually overconfident people. "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle or the humble, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." With Jesus' announcement that the kingdom was near, people were asking, "How do I qualify to be in God's kingdom?" And Jesus said that God's kingdom was organized differently from the worldly kingdom. In the kingdom of heaven, wealth, power, authority are not important. Kingdom people, you and I, we need to seek different kinds of blessings and benefits because we have different attitudes. See, the attitude of the world, selfishness, pride, lust, and power, and everything they do reflect that. But the disciplines we need would be humility, self-sacrifice, the things that Jesus would say are worth seeking. Galatians 5:22, "The fruit of the Spirit, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things." To follow the Holy Spirit, to let Him lead you, takes discipline. If we want the Spirit to grow in us, we must join our lives with His. We must imitate Him. And as a result, it will fulfill the purpose. See, to live as Christians, it takes discipline. It's not easy. I tell people to live as a Christian is like a salmon swimming upstream. It's a battle. It's a battle to progress, to move forward, but it's something that we need to do. Reading the Bible is not easy, but it's worth it. You know, it takes no discipline at all to eat a whole bag of chips. How many of you realize that? Yeah? It takes no discipline at all to sleep an extra 1, 2, maybe 3 or 4 hours, right? How many of you know that? It takes no discipline. It takes no discipline to be lazy. But it takes discipline to grow. It takes discipline to follow God. It takes discipline to get up and to come to church on a Sunday, to fellowship and to worship. It's not easy. How can we, as New Hope East Hawaii, help you live a disciplined life? Because that's what we want to do. Look at your neighbor. Think of how they can help keep you accountable. Maybe they can text. Somebody would text me, what did God say to you today? That holds me accountable. That means I better be reading my word. What am I going to text him? Duh. Nothing. No. God speaks to you every day in a lot of different ways. But it takes discipline to go and hear him. Amen? I'd like to call the worship team up. And as we close, you may put away your notes. But it takes discipline. And if you have your tear-off tab, and if you never filled it out yet, and if you want to let us know how we can help you live a disciplined life, fill it out. Drop it in a box. If it means that I got to text you Saturday morning, you men, to come and join us, then, well, we might have to do that. If it means texting you, like, hey, what did God say? Texting you the reading plan for the day, then we can have that happen too. You know, if you're on a diet and you need help, then, hey, we can have somebody bring you salad on a Sunday. Yeah? I mean, whenever we leave on Sunday, that's the last thing is left is salad. So you guys are not living a disciplined life. Those of you on a diet, I'm on a seafood diet. The food I see, I eat. Right? But you can bow your heads and close your eyes. I want to pray. Accepting Jesus, really no discipline at all, but following him takes discipline. And if you need to receive Jesus now, I'd like to give you that chance. And with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you need to pray this prayer, pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins, and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? God bless you over there. Anybody else? God bless you back there. Anybody else? Let me put your hands down. Lord, you have seen the hands. Thank you so much. They have said yes to you. And Lord, I pray that we as New Hope East Hawaii would help them to be disciplined in their walk with Christ. I pray that the disciplines that you have spoken to us would be evident in our lives, that you would help us to practice these disciplines so that we can grow and mature, become fruitful, become lights in this community, become pillars in this church. Thank you so much, Lord, for teaching us that it takes discipline to follow you. And we want to do that. We thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16674 Milo Street, Keaau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.